Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight on Living Mythology, I'm proud to bring you Spaced Out with Bob Vossler. And today, he and his guests will be discussing Doctor Who and more. Greetings and welcome, Bob. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. In fact, we have a bit of a Florida theme going on here because my guest, Danny, is a resident in Florida, and I am at the moment in lovely Bradenton near Sarasota and enjoying my time with my in-laws. My wife and I have just been having a blast. We wish it was a longer trip, but we're having a great time, and we're really looking forward to talking to you and others about Doctor Who and some Star Trek news and things like that. So looking forward to the next hour here.
I'll be here if you need me.
All right.
And your guest is
here.
Hey,
Danny. Okay. Hey, Danny, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a fellow Starfleet member in Region 2. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello there. Yes, this is Danny. Coming from the Atlantic side of Florida. I was in Starfleet as a lieutenant in Region 2 here. So, on the part of the USS Haven. So all kinds of fun. But I used to do a lot of different Star Trek podcasting and also Doctor Who audiophiles, where we listen to different Doctor Who and Torchwood, Sarah Jane, all kinds of Big Finish titles, and then talk about them, seeing that I was quite new to it. But all kinds of fun. I do love the sci-fi. As a matter of fact, I just finished watching The Orville before I jumped on.
I love The Orville. So you've seen the third season premiere, did they drop all the episodes at once, or are they doing it weekly on Hulu now?
It is weekly, so this is episode 2. So they drop on mm-hmm. Thursdays. So I had to check it out, which meant I had to make a life choice, either watch The Orville or watch Strange New World. And it was hard because I love Strange New World. So I will probably jump into that right afterwards.
Yeah, I love it too. In fact, that's the only detriment of being here is not being able to watch that tonight because my in-laws don't have a streaming service. I don't think they know what it is, but they've been fantastic hosts. It was great weather today, so I've enjoyed my time here. So let's go into Doctor Who. I came into Doctor Who much earlier, and with the I guess we would now call the classic Doctors, but that's okay because it doesn't matter. I believe you said the first Doctor that you came across was it David Tennant or Eccleston?
Nope.
Chris Eccleston.
Number 9. He is my favorite Doctor, so Eccleston, Christopher Eccleston. Absolutely love it. So I would be a new Who, as I've been told. So, since I was a big Star Trek fan, I had friends that went, you have to watch Doctor Who. And I went, Doctor Who? All right, well, I'll try it. But I made a big mistake. I attempted to watch the very first season. And after about 10, 15 minutes of it, I went, I can't watch this. This is it's a little bit too much for me. And they were like, well, no. Start New Who. I think you'll like it. And they were right.
Yeah, with William Hartnell. that would be quite a, after seeing Doctor 9 and the production value of that and going back all the way back to the 1960s. Yeah. But Eccleston was fantastic. Yes. Eccleston was fantastic. I wish he had done more seasons, but what we did have, I think was just right for what would become one of the most major story arcs, which was didn't get resolved until many years later with the Time War conclusion. But and we didn't even get to see the regeneration there, but that was okay. You know, it started off with a bang, you know.
It did, and it actually helped to introduce me to, you know, Captain Jack Harkness, because I'm a huge Torchwood fan. So
yes, very
exciting.
Cool show.
So I know, I do love me some John Barrowman. I love to follow him on social media. He's always good for a good time, a laugh, a song, any of the above. So I definitely enjoy watching and following along. And since I've been doing some of the audios and stuff, I've gotten to see some, you know, or not see, I should say, in my head I've seen it, but listening to the pretty much those stories and having the original actors in them, it makes me feel like I'm watching episodes, but in my own head, like I can see it happen. And especially since Yanto is my favorite, then I can still pretend he's still around. Mm-hmm. And I love Yanto.
Well, Big Finish, you know, was, you know, if you don't count the 1996 Doctor Who movie, I'm not saying that it was totally awful, but, you know, it didn't, unfortunately, it wasn't good enough to net a new series at that time. But Big Finish clearly filled in the gap and gave us Doctor Who with some incredible writing. And also some good production values for an audio, because good sound effects and the voices of actors that we were familiar with. And I don't think Doctor Number 8 did any at early on, but he did it later. But we had Sylvester McCoy and Ace in some really good stories. Which I think it, the caliber of which, if those were the stories we had during the run of the second season with Sylvester McCoy, I think we would, you know, the show wouldn't have been, you know, put into limbo and then eventually, you know, canceled. Big Finish has done a lot. I remember, you know, and they focused on various different aspects. I remember one of my favorites was a Ronnie solo story. they just decided just to do that. It was really cool. And eventually they would get Doctor Number 8, and those were great too. And now I believe even Tom Baker has come back and he's agreed to do them. And Chris Eccleston is yeah. So like we're that. Finally going to get more of Doctor 9, you know.
That makes me happy. And, you know, after listening to some of the Big Finish, I had never seen the movie until I finally did. And I'm not going to lie, half the time I was laughing because parts of it were just, I know they weren't supposed to be funny, but it was kind of, it wasn't supposed to be, but parts of it were kind of funny. But I still thought he was really great. So, yeah. And I forgot what the woman's name was. She was there, but
yeah.
I thought he was really interesting. So I'm like, it's kind of cool. And like now that, you know, I know who he is, because I remember seeing an episode and not realizing really who he was. And I was like, okay, wait, there's this other guy. Oh, okay. He's number eight. Okay. Well, that's the thing.
Remember when Sylvester McCoy came back to do the regeneration, and remember the scene where Sylvester McCoy is regenerating into
four doctors?
Into the new doctor, and it's in like a morgue, and the orderly there or attendant, whatever you want to call him, is watching.
Yeah.
He's watching the original Frankenstein, and having seen that, you know, recently within the last year or so, I had completely forgotten that medical person was played by Will Sasso, who is known, you know, for Mad TV.
Yeah.
And and is a comic, and that really was one of the funniest scenes where they're transposing, you know, his regeneration with lightning almost and energy and him watching Frankenstein and Will Sasso's reaction when he comes out of the, you know, the morgue, the room, you know. So.
I enjoyed it. It was pretty funny. As I said, I watched it, and the whole time I'm watching this movie going, wow, this is definitely it's a movie of its era. Absolutely crazy 90s. Grace Holloway, that's what I can remember, who was like a really good friend of mine, you know, at the time he was explaining a lot of things to me because he's, you know, actually two of them, big Doctor Who, and they, you know, seen everything, and they were explaining how it was controversial because the Doctor and her kissed or something, and I'm like, okay, and, you know, not knowing that, you know, that's just not it, because it was kind of funny is I know that we've had conversations that we really enjoy it. Like, you know, all the Doctors, I think that they've been, you know, really awesome, even Jodie herself, I loved her. I think that sometimes they get, like, the lovey part of it gets a little bit weird sometimes. Sometimes it's organic, and then other times it's kind of forced on it, and you're just going, wow, can we move on from that? Can we not? Okay. And, you know, being a female, you're supposed to love the love, and you're like, sometimes I'm like, no, I don't love the love.
And she didn't even end up going with the Doctor. That was, like, disappointing at the very end. She was like, he asks her to come in, you know, to join him as a companion. And then it doesn't even, you know, like, that made no sense. You know, like.
It was a weird, as I said, the movie was weird. I just remember, kind of when they're doing, like, the fighting and stuff, and I was trying not to laugh. It was just the weirdest, craziest, nonsensical, but still fun. So I enjoyed it, but
I did too at the time, and I still think Eric Roberts made an awesome Master. You know, like I thought he did more than just a decent job. I thought, you know, because Eric Roberts always, you know, seems to always play the heavy, usually 9 times out of 10, and this was a perfect role for him, I thought. So, plus we know that,
pretty much what that movie was trying to make it more appealing to an American audience, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
It works better. I love the BBC, so I enjoy British shows. So I think it just does. I think it works more in that style. Yeah. And, you know, the humor, or like just the whole run of it works better that way. Cause you try to change it over to, like, say, more of an American style. I mean, there's so many shows that they've tried to do that to that have not worked. And I mean, the only one that's actually worked has been, like, The Office, where people don't realize The Office was, like, you know, Ricky Gervais' show, and it actually did better in the U.S. than it did in the U.K. It lasted longer. Some people say it lasted too long, but still. It just kind of
People didn't work. I think that was the CW tried to do the Tomorrow People, which was a very popular Brit sci-fi, and didn't last very long.
I remember they tried to do the Inbetweeners. That didn't work because they actually filmed that here at Universal Orlando here in Central Florida. I remember it was big controversial because, you know, in the UK it was something that was, you know, a bit saucy. And in the U.S., it was a bit lame because it was on MTV. So, and people were expecting some of those, you know, the craziness, and pretty much just got silly hijinks.
It's
kind of fun. But I'm sorry, so who is your favorite Doctor then? Since we know that mine is Eccleston.
Well, if we go by Classic Who, I'm going to break it up into two. Classic Who, to me, your first Doctor is usually your fave. And for me, that's Tom Baker, who I first saw watching it on WOR in New York on a Saturday morning, stumbling upon it and wondering, what the heck is this? And Channel 9, of course, stuck in commercials. And because the show wasn't, you know, didn't have commercial breaks, it would break at the weirdest times, but it had this cheesy charm, and Tom Baker was just so lovable and yet crazy, and you know, it just was very appealing, even despite, you know, even at that point, which was the 1970s, I was just like, I don't know what this is, but I love it. And I read Starlog like every month, and had to learn all about him, and realized this isn't even the first Doctor. Like I realized that this is, well, I kind of knew that from the start because I watched the first episode. I think it was the first episode. Well, they would repeat it, but I don't know if Robot was the first episode I watched, but would eventually see that he was regenerated. And I was like, okay, that guy didn't look anything like him, you know, like, and then found out I had to do all this research and then started buying books about it and about the character. And, you know, just figured, well, okay, this show's been going on for a while. Hopefully Tom Baker will be on forever, and never thinking, you know, and then the show moved to a public television channel, and they, New Jersey Network, and which was now no longer in existence, but was public television, and they started with Peter Davison, and I was like, well, wait a minute, you know, like they didn't get the seasons that I didn't see. There was some like two seasons, or at least one season of Tom Baker. No, it had to be two. And I was like, wait a minute, I want to see that. I want to see how we get, you know, to this point. And then eventually I would. But so he's got to be my all-time favorite. But David Tennant, when we get to the new, even though I really love Chris Eccleston too, I would have loved to have seen him stay for, you know, several more seasons. But David Tennant certainly has that, you know, a special charm that I think they also needed at that point. So.
Oh, I love him.
He's probably, absolutely. And I recently got to see him at Philly Fan Expo, back in April. It's not that long ago, but he's still very, very funny, charming, and we'll be seeing.
And he'll be back.
Yeah, he'll be back, which is like wild, because it sounds like he's going to be back for more than just a guest appearance. It sounds like he's going to be doing a few episodes or something. I don't know what they have in the works, but if the rumor I heard or what I read was correct, and maybe you've heard this too, or you've heard something different, that our current Doctor is going to degenerate a few regenerations, and we get him back, which sounds wacky, until he goes forward again or something crazy like that. I don't know. But whatever happens, I'm all in for it, because I can't wait to see, you know, Russell T. Davies back and, you know, as showrunner and some new Who, you know. So
I love David Tennant. Sometimes when I'm working, that's what I have playing in the background is Doctor Who, because then I don't have, you know, it's something that is familiar, so you don't have to pay attention. But every once in a while, you can look up, you can smile, and I go back to working, and it's good times. So
yeah.
I always kind of enjoy.
Yeah, whenever it's on BBC, I do the same thing on BBC America. And they do the marathons, and if I'm working at home, because now I have to go in 2 days a week, I also have background noise. I always have
back.
To
just watch it.
yeah, and plus I have several episodes of the new Who. Unfortunately, my classic Who collection isn't as extensive. I used to have a lot of stuff on VHS, but it got ruined in the big hurricane that we had in Jersey several years ago. And I had like the Five Doctors, because I would tape all of this off of New Jersey Network. So, you know, the specials and all those old classic episodes. I'm excited about seeing, you know, some new Who. And, you know, I think you've said you haven't been watching the current season.
So I did. I finally caught up. I stopped watching it in real time. It took me a while to get back. Because I would, to be honest, I would start watching something, then I would get confused. Because it would just, I didn't understand what the plot was going. And then all of a sudden it just be kind of over and I'm like, I missed something. And I think when I spent first 13, the first season, definitely watched that in real time. But then the next ones were a little bit harder. So I really enjoyed Jodi. I think that she had too many companions and they didn't know what to do with them.
Yes, I totally agree.
Ramsay's the best companion, which is, and like, but I think, like, it sounds really crazy. I think it'd been cool to have her with Graham and Grace. I think that would have been more fun.
I do too. That would have been great. I think that's the direction they should have gone to. I felt the same way when I watched it. I was like, oh, we should have killed her off.
Because I feel like then it would have really, like, you would have felt more of their relationship. Because you knew that, you know, Graham and Grace had this relationship. You didn't really know much about it. But, I mean, towards the end, you really got that he was, you know, he was trying to be more, you know, family stuff with Ryan. But I feel like he was the one that really grew. Ryan was kind of there, and every once in a while they're like, well, because Graham is here, you got to do something with Ryan. And poor Jazz. Oh, my gosh. They had to pretty much get rid of the two of them to only add Dan to then kind of make Jazz relevant, which kind of made me sad because I'm like, I feel like she probably had, you know, I love the story of her with her family when she was, I think that was in like either the first one or the second one. And I thought that one was so interesting. And then she fell off again.
And was it me, or did you also observe, or did you also feel that they kind of almost forgot her backstory of being a cop? You know?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like she was doing things that I didn't think, or approaching things in a way that I don't think a police officer might look at it differently. So I thought, well, like, wait a minute, what are they doing with her?
Treated her more like, you know, like, there's people who, you know, they couldn't stand. I love Martha. Martha is one of my favorites. I like that when she had to stand up for herself and be like, hey, I'm a doctor, you know, an actual doctor. Let me do doctor things. And they used her as a doctor. I thought that it made her, you know, I think she's a great character. But poor Yaz, she's a police officer. But, man, you would never know she was a police officer because she seemed to be lost all the time. And it was just weird. It was very weird. And it felt bad for her. And it was kind of funny because when Dan came along, I had to put on subtitles. And that was the first time in a long time I've had to do that. And then until I got used to his accent again, and I went, okay, I missed things. I think I was like, I'm missing things. But it was just, I don't know. It was very,
well, Jodi,
I don't know.
Jodi herself, especially in that first season, almost needed a translator. I think she talked too fast. I mean, I could get over the accent. We're used to that. But I just thought she talked a mile a minute. And I know I'm not the only fan who was brought this up, that they needed, like, you know, closed captions as well, just to figure out. She did get better over time, but I just, you know, between that and just, yeah, and the general approach, and as you pointed out, the companions being too many and not consistent, I don't know. Unfortunately, I think her reign, and it's a shame, because I think she, you know, did a good job.
I thought she was really, I thought she was quite lovely. And I
enjoyed her. And I think that was, we all wanted more of her and more of a consistent story, I think.
Yeah.
The last one should have been a classic.
What's that?
I felt the last show, which was on Easter weekend, well, on Easter itself, should have been a classic. It had all, it had some great elements to it. It had, you know, the usual crew there, but it had pirates. It had, like, you know, a pirate kind of element. It had the Sea Devils. It should have really been better than it was. And I'm watching it. I was all excited. I'm like, this one's going to be good. They put everything together. And, of course, they're going to have some humor. But, you know, like the pirate outfits and stuff. And it looked like, you know, like the, our companions there were, you know, going to a Ren Fair with pirates or something, you know. But I don't know. To me, it kind of fell flat. And then at the conclusion, they're talking about their, you know, their love lives. And I'm like, yeah, their relationships. And while that's somewhat interesting, I was like, really?
Build, kind of?
Yeah, it's like, this is how you're going to end what should have been one of the most exciting and, I mean, I lost track of what was happening at one point.
I did.
I mean,
I did.
I'm glad it wasn't just me, because it was like, you know,
well,
I got distracted and almost like, what's going on? You know.
Well, I think that, you know, Yaz herself, she definitely had, like, you know, some kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. So at least I understood Yaz. But out of nowhere, the doctor seemed like, oh, yeah, oh, I have some of those same things, and it's fine. And I went, wait, what? So it was a weird way to do it. I'm like, I'm fine with them. Hey, be together. I don't care. I'm like, yeah, it's gorgeous. It's fantastic. But it was just so strange because, you know, I mean, the whole time, yeah, I was just trying to get her attention, but I feel like out of nowhere, okay, you have my attention, and this is where we are now. And I'm like, okay.
I'm hoping that with the next, you know, new regeneration of the Doctor, we can finally get away from, because I think we've beaten this horse to death, of the Doctor and the Companion between, you know, between Rose, between now
oh,
the
gosh.
Yaz. Between, you know, it's just to the point of, look, the Doctor can probably love anybody, but should he be involved with a man, a woman, an alien, anything, because he's going to outlive them most likely. And he's, you know, almost an immortal being. So, like, not to look down at his companions, you know, and it's certainly to care for them and protect them, since they are his, you know, his friends and his traveling companions. But really, should it, you know, do we need another storyline involving a relationship? Because it just doesn't go anywhere, you know.
You know, what's so funny is that I remember not liking Rose for a while because I went, I need them to get over this now.
Yeah, Rose. Then we had Martha.
But you know what? Martha, at least I understood better. It was kind of like, you could tell with Martha, at least, it was kind of the story of, this is somebody who's lost somebody and now just wants to be important to someone and kind of show off. But then he even realized that he was in the wrong for it and he knew what he was doing was wrong. So
yeah.
I need some more. And then, so I love Donna. I absolutely love Donna.
Yeah.
So I love that they were just, you know, she's the one, hey, spaceman, you know, yeah, get off me. I don't want this. You know, I enjoyed that because then it was like, it gives you a break between always meeting some kind of weird sexual tension. And I'm like, I'm not, you know, will they, won't they? And I'm like, how about will they? Let's just not. But I mean, out of anyone, my least favorite was Clara. So, because I didn't, that, you know, she's fallen in. She's always been there. And, like, out of nowhere, he was just deeply in love with Clara. And needed
to
That was the, you know, what's really funny is that, so we were talking about, like, seasons. So, technically, I have not seen all of Matt Smith's episodes. because I had to 1-2 skip a few of them because I would get annoyed.
Yeah, I went from really loving Clara. I thought she was cute as a button, and she was adorable to the point where I was like, okay, it was time for her to leave a season ago. And this impossible girl and all of this, like, they don't know what to do with her. And this is the one companion that they actually kept too long, where usually if you want the companion to stay, be it, you know, Sarah Jane Smith or Leela or all these other companions. And I'm thinking, this is the one that I liked in the beginning, but really it's time for her to go. We should have gotten Billy, like, much earlier. Billy's a companion that I would have loved to have seen much earlier.
I did like Bill. They had a great relationship. I'm a huge River Song fan. I love that she was just coming in and out whenever. And
yeah,
I was so sad when I, do you know the first time I saw when they had the date, it was like, what, 24, like one day with 24 years or something like that. I didn't realize that was the last time she'd be there until.
Yeah, I don't think I did either.
I didn't know until, we were still doing the audio files, and my friend was like, you know, she's never coming back. And I was like, well, why? And he goes, oh, this is the end. This is the next episode would technically be the library. And I went, no. Because I love her. I love her. I like that she comes in and out sometimes. I was really hoping, you know, I think it would have been really cool to see her with Jody. I think it would be cool just to see her just randomly pop up. But I get it as well. They're going in opposite times. But it's still just, you know, just want to hear, hello, sweetie. You know, and then have her there.
Yeah.
That's it. She was a love. She was a love that I thought was perfect.
That was handled well. You know, that was handled well. And just it's funny because we had the doctor's daughter, who's now David Tennant's
wife,
and his father-in-law, and this is what he mentioned at the convention, you know, like they asked him the question of who was your favorite doctor, and he was like, let's see, what am I supposed to say? You know, my father-in-law is Peter Davison, he said, and he was but actually he surprised me because I thought Peter Davison would be his favorite. Peter Davison wasn't his father-in-law, but he actually was more like myself, Tom Baker, but he saved himself very much by saying, like, you know, Peter Davison, my father-in-law.
I mean, that's a good way to stay in good with the father-in-law to claim that one.
And many people, speaking of the whole, not nepotism, but legacies. John Pertwee's son, who many might know as Alfred from, and I can't think of his first name, but obviously Pertwee, from Gotham. A lot of people were hoping that he would become a new version, and I think he would do an excellent job. I think he would be perfect. Not really, not to redo his father's version, but as his own doctor. But that's obviously not in the cards. So. There's a lot, of course, every time, we hear that one doctor is leaving, then it becomes, and this is always the way it's been. Everybody always speculates, like, okay, who could be the next doctor? What actor will come out of the woodwork and would be perfect? And because everyone wants to be a casting director at that point, So.
See, and I'm the person who I don't want to know. And I like to be just surprised. Can I just be surprised? And now, you know, nowadays you end up knowing. It's like introducing this person, and I'm like, no, don't tell me. I didn't want to know. Right.
Yeah, see, back in the day of the classic doctors, you know, the BBC would do, they would roll out a special press conference. They would introduce the person. You know, there would be pictures and all this taken. I remember when Colin Baker, after Peter Davison, you know, and they brought up Nicola Bryant, who was Perry, you know, from Peter Davison's era. And, you know, Colin Baker came out and they took pictures and all this kind of stuff. And you would read it in Doctor Who magazine. It wouldn't be national, you know, even international news, because Doctor Who it was still a cult show, but it wasn't, you know, the big phenomena that we would come to know now. And of course, with the internet, you know, now almost nothing is secret. And even false news is like, you know, out there and you know, speculation and all of that. So, you know, I mean, we had Jody leaving earlier than she actually was leaving. Like, I remember some people who were really displeased were like, oh, Chinball's going. And so is Jody, because they're friends. And like, you know, like the show would have been different like 2 years ago, and I'm like, well, that didn't pan out. So
except because now I'm like, at least before, I mean, and it's not Jerry or anything like that, but remember, it's just like every, you know, every fall then Doctor Who would start again, and now they're like these big huge pauses between and like,
yeah,
you know, and it's, I'm like, so then
I don't like that.
I don't like it. I wish it would just, you know, let's do that. It'll be great. And I you know what? One thing I was going to say is, so one thing I did really like is during the Jodie era was I liked Ruth, the Ruth doctor. And then she was there, and then she was kind of dropped. Like, I wish we could have seen more of her.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. That was another, and I think that's been the problem of this particular era. Was, you know, it wasn't Jody, but it was definitely the writing and like
the storytelling.
That they didn't know what they were doing, the storytelling. And I don't know if it was because his prior, even though they said that he was a, you know, a Doctor Who fan himself, but you wouldn't know that because he almost like con a lot of things out or definitely put his own mark on it. But it almost seems like his background in production was more like, what was it called, church? He did the mystery.
Oh,
that's how he came to. Yeah, and it seemed like he was doing almost a police procedural or a mystery, but really didn't adapt the style of Doctor, you know, of Doctor Who as much. Like, maybe he really wasn't cut out for this show to be the showrunner.
Mm-hmm. Well, which is kind of interesting because he was the showrunner for Torchwood, I think, or the writer for Torchwood, a lot of it. Like, he did.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
And I loved, I mean, with the exception
Torchwood
of,
was great.
Torchwood was awesome. It's also one of the horniest shows ever. I rewatched it, and I was like, oh, my God. The first season, I'm like, ah. But
I have to rewatch it. 2 years before the pandemic, I lucked out. I of all the weird assignments, I did a feature story from my work on a flea market or something, or maybe it was during the pandemic or something, one of the few things that were happening. And I lucked into somebody selling like several seasons of Torchwood at a senior community flea market for like, you know, take them all for $5. I was like, done, you know, like take my money. I'm going to grab this before you change your mind and realize what you have here. But obviously they could care less. They're like, whatever this is, you know, like, yep, I'll take it. So I've got to sit down and the other season, I think whatever season I did get, I was able to get somewhere else really cheap. So I can't wait to,
right.
Which I
so
think
I
they were
my,
movies at that
my
point. You know,
I can watch it all. They have all of them. But yeah, no, I love. I told you, Yanto, justice for Yanto. I think that's why it was so kind of interesting and such. But it should be fun. I think whatever happens in the next one, I'll be excited again to sit and watch it. I always get excited. Like sometimes, you know, you get pumped up for things, and then sometimes they go really well, and sometimes they don't. But you know, that's kind of like the luck of it all. I mean,
yeah.
As Star Trek fans, sometimes we get super excited or super disappointed in things, and in the end, I'm still going to be a fan of it. I'm not going to I can have discussions about things that I don't care for and still love the property, and
right.
not get, you know, complete panties in a wad.
Yeah, right,
just
exactly.
Hot.
And I'm hoping for is that they will not necessarily focus on a big arc this time, and just let the doctor be the doctor, this new doctor. Let's find out what he's all about. Let's also have some stories that aren't always literally earth shattering or cosmic shattering. Let's have some stories that just present some kind of challenge or danger and allow the doctor to show his uniqueness and learn more about the companions. I'm hoping that we have, you know, some stories like that and not a big catastrophe every episode. Not to say we can't have some of those, but that's what I'm kind of hoping for. I hope we don't – I guess we're getting kind of overdone with the arcs too. At least I am. So I don't know how you feel about that.
I think you can have one, but it like, you know, to move the story along. But when the arc of your story doesn't move the story anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. That's
it's kind of like, I mean, the one I can think of the most is I love Sir Patrick Stewart. I'm not going to lie. I was so excited for Picard. It's a story we probably didn't really need, but we all just wanted. It was like 10 hours of Picard, and really it was 2 hours of story and 8 hours of filler.
Yeah, I came into the season really liking it and being excited, but then towards the middle – I just thought, well, I think they're stretching this a bit. They could have condensed this, and this wasn't as interesting and really about the whole card. And I don't know. I just thought that, yeah, I agree that it was some padding this season. Still overall very entertaining, but, you know, could have either been less episodes.
The same with Doctor Who. I still find it entertaining. So, like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's not. I always, you know what? It's kind of like when we talk about canon and stuff, or it's not the Who or the Trek that I'm used to. And I'm like, well, you know, everything kind of grows and it's fine.
Right. But, storytelling, know,
the intent is still there. But it's just,
right.
you know, welcome to a new age that happened. And.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't get caught up in crazy amounts of it, unless you just, you know, make things absolutely insanely that this makes no sense anymore. Then once again, I don't get ruffled up by that. I just more of like, just tell me a story. If you tell me a story.
Right. And I thought Doctor Who had in many ways when the new Doctor Who debuted in 2005 with Eccleston and Rose, and you saw the production value, like this was not your key sets and that, but you had some great stories. It was an hour long, finally, because over the decades prior, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and you know, they changed the time frame. Like it was 25 minutes or a half hour, and then they made it like at one point the Colin Baker era was, I think, something weird, like 45 minutes. And, you know, it was nice to see it was going to be an hour long. There would be, you know, for American market, there would be areas where you would have a commercial break, you know, to insert, and it wouldn't be
strange. I thought that worked so well, and people appreciated, you know, it did everything that a revival series was supposed to do, bring in new viewers, a new generation, still kept the old happy, because it didn't really do anything too radical other than the Time War, which was exciting because it was a mystery. You know, I think that was, it worked very well until this era, which I'm not bent out of shape, but I'm disappointed because I think Jodi deserved better. I think the audience deserved better. And I think we just wanted something, you know, better. But I kept watching just like everybody else, or, you know, so hopefully we'll see. You know, this new era, we don't know what we'll see next. You know, apparently we're going to get a tidbit of old new Doctor with Tennant and
with the production value they have now, you know, it's gorgeous. So,
yes.
So you can't, which, I know that's one thing I will say. I'm like, I think it's, the production value is phenomenal. It looks great.
Yeah.
So you can't, yeah. I know, I'm funny because, you know, I'm watching all the shows, I keep talking about different ones, and one of the things the first thing I noticed, for example, the Orville, when I watched the first episode, is the production value, because now it's on Hulu, is a thousand times better. It looks gorgeous. Like, the actual special effects in it look amazing. Like, I,
well, having only seen the trailer, the trailer looks like it's more of a movie trailer, and that this is this should be on the big screen.
It's,
you know,
beautiful.
It looks really, really good, really, really good. It almost brings us to Strange New Worlds, because that certainly looks, you know,
gorgeous. Oh my God,
gorgeous, very much.
Strange New Worlds is like. Yeah, the Orville and Strange New Worlds, I love it. They both fantastic. I've been a huge fan of the Orville since day one, which I know many, you know, when we used to do Trek 360, that I keep talking about at the very end, because certain people would get upset about it. And they're like, it's not that. I'm like, it's fan. It's like, it's a love letter to Star Trek. I loved it. I didn't mind the humor. But I also enjoy Seth MacFarlane. So, and season that I know that I was watching like this interview that he was doing, and like pretty much he was able to take some of the humor back out, because he actually didn't want to put as much humor in it. Fox wanted him to put more humor in it. So it has the essence and the lightness of it to specific characters that make sense that they are. But I think it's definitely, this season is definitely a matured one. I really hope that they have more seasons. I'm hoping people watch it so there'll be more, because I'll be very sad that they've gotten all this awesome production and then it's like, well, that's the one you get. Bye.
Yeah, I hope, you know. And it was a pretty long gap. Not that they had much choice, because the pandemic.
Gap.
Yeah, and I think that might have hurt them. You know, in the long run, but I hope that news of how spectacular the season is, you know, grows, and that we see, you know, we see more seasons, and we're certainly going to see more seasons of Strange New Worlds, which episode has brought a new dynamic element, in storytelling and in, you know, and character growth. You know, we learned a lot about Uhura in one episode than we had in, you know, in many episodes.
I love it. I like the fact that, you know, it's really funny is that, you know, I remember when we first did 360 and we were talking about Discovery, and I'm not the biggest fan of Discovery. I'm better with it since they went into the future. I'm a lot better with it. But
yeah, I am too. I'm the same. I can't say I've seen all of the most
current season. I've seen one episode of the current season and then always said, I'll go back to it. I'll binge watch it. And that hasn't happened yet. It's been months. So, but Strange New World, you know, if I wasn't in Florida, I'd be watching it now or tomorrow.
Oh, it's beautifully shot. I'm like, Anson Mount was born to be Pike. He's absolutely fantastic. But it's not just him. I think everyone that they cast, there's not one person that I go, should have went with somebody else, which I find it funny because, the few people or the people who complain about it, you know, being either woke or whatever, I think that's hilarious. But because somebody pointed out that there's more women on the bridge than men, and I didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
Until someone had to point it out, and I went,
yeah, I saw that in a meme, and I forgot Jeffrey Hunter Pike's comment early on in Menagerie Cage, you know, saying, I'm just not used to a woman on the bridge or something, you know, and Nigel Barrett gives him a look, you know, as number one. I forgot that whole scene, you know, and I've seen, of course, the Cage and Menagerie, you know, in reruns, even though he's going to own the episode, but apparently I haven't seen that particular early part of the show in a long time because I completely forgot that. And it was brought back like, hey, yeah, that's right.
He did say that. I was like, oh, yeah. I will tell you there's only one complaint I have about Star Trek Strange New World. What's with M'Banga's daughter? That's it.
Yeah, that seemed weird. That
it just makes sense. That storyline, I don't get it. It seems to be there, then it was dropped. So that's it.
She would be in the buffer. He didn't take her fishing on this one, but I guess he can't because
they were all playing with the transporters in the medical lab. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. That was
that makes me uncomfortable about that. Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. So I'm not. I want to play Enterprise Bingo.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to play Enterprise Bingo. But I'm glad that we have so many things that we're able to see and enjoy. And I definitely look forward to new episodes of Doctor Who as they come out. I always want to try to support and do what I can. I always enjoy it. If I have criticisms, I give it. I try to be as fair as possible. I don't sit and try to bash or anything. But you know, I always believe that you can always have constructive criticism and talk about it. But you also have to acknowledge the good as well. And
right, absolutely.
Hopefully everyone enjoys the change. If not, then guess what? It's fine. It's fine. You'll be
right.
Okay.
We have news. I posted on the Starfleet Region 7 page today. I shared the notice of another report of Star Trek 4. Well, Star Trek 4 being the Kelvin, you know, the latest version of J.J. Abrams' movies. That is moving ahead. Of course, we've heard this before, but I brought it up with optimism. Like, hey. Maybe this is going to happen after all. Let's just cheer it on and hope that happens. And I prefaced it. And yes, it is Kelvinverse, and we don't need we don't need to hear your version of Kelvin versus Prime. That little debate has been going. You know, just don't even bring this up in this thread.
I enjoyed the Kelvinverse movies.
I did too. It's like, it's part of Trek. It's a different angle or a different universe, but it's still Trek. Just sit down, enjoy it. And, you know, I thought the Beyond was great. I enjoyed
Beyond. That is my favorite one. It's Beyond.
Yes.
That was my favorite. It's my one Star Trek post that happens to be it's in a frame in my living room. I have the movie poster for Star Trek Beyond. And it made me really wish that, you know, that next week's episode was coming up and then nothing happened. And I was like, no. But I agree with Chris Pine. I think that it's gotten to a point where studios spend all this money and then it's 20 times as much to come back. And they're not, like where he said that they're over, you know, trying to make everything into this big epic budget, you know, blockbuster. And it loses some of the, you know, the appeal because you have to make so much money back for it. And so I agree with him that I really hope that they all sign back up and I'd love to see them in another adventure. I think that I'm like, even, you know what, even Star Trek Into Darkness, I think if they just would not have made him Khan, it would have been fine. We would have known it was. They just didn't need to say his name was Khan. Just be John Smith. Like, be John Smith and we're good.
Yeah.
And also don't do the floppy thing at the end.
I hate to interrupt, but we have around 3 minutes left, and I wanted everybody to have a chance to share their contact info.
Of course, I can be reached at usschallenger.org, our website, on Facebook, USS Challenger, and, of course, beamaboard@AOL.com.
Yeah, and usually I'm more of the Twitter social media, so it's at VIPDANNIE212. So usually talking about sports and sci-fi on there. So definitely feel free to add and chat to me. Always have fun. If you're gonna be mean, then you can just stay where you are.
Any last word you'd like to leave our audience with tonight?
Keep trucking, keep hoovying.
Right, keep having fun.
Thank you both very much. I was entertained and informed, and I'm looking forward to your next conversation. Thanks also to everybody who tuned in, whether you called in and patiently waited in our queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you'll be checking us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll end with the Virginia Ackley song. Bye, if you can dream.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you